Okay, so last week we kind of did like this broad overarching summary of everything we've covered thus far. Ringing a bell? So I guess first off, I'll just ask, you've had a week to think on that. Are there any questions that kind of came up as you were kind of looking at that broad thing? We got all kinds of time today. Going once, going twice. Sure. Okay. Sure. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Oh, sorry. I was saying that last week we kind of looked at that broad overview of kind of what we've covered to this point in the class, and we kind of flew through that. I mean, understandably, we covered 6 months in a day. And so are there any questions that have come up as you've kind of thought about that, if you've thought about that? If not, no worries. But I wanted, since I had 2 minutes left at the end of class last time, I wanted to at least give the opportunity. All righty. So we're going to go ahead and get started, moving forward then. So the next section of what we're going to deal with is the time where the prophetic writings start to come into play. So I guess just kind of an interesting note here. In the Hebrew Bible, there are really three books that are called prophecy, or four books, sorry, four books, that are called prophecy. And so it's essentially your major prophets, minus Daniel, and then you have what they call the Book of the Twelve. Which is all of the minor prophets, except Daniel, which is considered part of the writings. But ignore that one for now. And the time of the prophets are writing very much so overlaps with the back part of 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles. And so all of those books are playing in the same kind of general time frame. And it makes it kind of tricky, right? Because now you've got these parallel accounts that aren't necessarily laid out chronologically. And so we have to kind of piece together who is this guy, when is he writing, and what's happening to interpret what he's saying against. And so last time, or 2 times ago, I asked, what is a prophet? And we talked about that pretty briefly. We're going to go into a little bit more detail about that here today before we get into kind of what's the specific message of the prophets. Given that, I guess there are two passages in Deuteronomy I want to read. And then I want to talk about what is a prophet in the sense that we hear about in Scripture. So if you would, please turn to Deuteronomy. I guess let's do Deuteronomy 13 first. That'll be Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 to 5. Would somebody like to read that for us? Sure, Anita. So on the one hand, we're being told that there is such a thing as a false prophet. There is such a thing as a prophet who brings a false message intended to deceive and intended to lead in a bad way. And there are consequences for that. The other passage is Deuteronomy 18. We read this one last time. Would somebody like to read Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 22? Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 22. Jason, thank you. Thank you. So, there are a few things that those passages presuppose, that they have to be true for those passages to make sense. One of them is that the prophet is someone with a message from God. There are two types of those messages. On the one hand, sometimes the prophets are viewed as seers. They're viewed as looking into the future and predicting things that are to come. On other instances, they're echoing a call to repentance. And actually, they do that a lot more than they do the foretelling. And so, an old distinction is that prophets both foretell and forthtell. And I think that's it's a helpful one. It's easy to remember to some degree. Sure. There are some differences, for sure. There are differences in, I guess, the way people deal with that question. Let me say it that way. So on the charismatic side of things, you have people who will say that there are, that kind of gifting has continued in. I struggle with that for several reasons. The first one actually comes from Hebrews. So if you look at Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 1 if I remember. Yeah. So we'll read Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 4. And here we're told, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Specifically, how this speaks to the question of prophecy today is, so in Scripture, we have this concept of the last days. And so when Scripture talks about the last days, we have this tendency to look at that as exclusively in the future, and that's just not, it's not the case. And so if you go through and you read the epistles, there are a lot of instances where the last days really started with Christ's ascension. And so on the one hand, you have the last days happening right now. There are some other instances where it is looking toward the future, and there is a culmination of the last days. Does that make a little bit of sense? So in this instance, we're being told that in the past, God has spoken certain revelations through all of these prophets and whatnot. And yet in Hebrews, it's telling us that Christ has come, and in these last days, God has spoken to us through Him. And the context there says a couple of things. First, it says that the message is ultimate, it's final, that's the best message that we can ever get. And it's as clear as we're going to have until it happens. And so one of the problems is, what does anyone prophesy? If we've already got the supreme message, that there's nothing left for some special revelation to come in. The other big issue is the chronology of it. So if we've already gotten the final message, what message are these guys supposed to be bringing? Now, the Puritans like to speak of preachers frequently as prophets. And that goes back to kind of that foretelling versus forthtelling discussion. And so if you're talking about forthtelling, that sounds a lot like exposition. And so preachers are called to forthtell what God has already revealed to us, that they are called to call out and to forthtell repentance from sin, to call out sin as they see it and to call people to repentance, to proclaim the good news of Christ. And so that does fulfill kind of that forthtelling role. The other problems are basically those Deuteronomy 18 and Deuteronomy 13 passages that basically demand 100% accuracy. And even in those charismatic circles, they don't meet that bar. Is that clear? Helpful, Kim? Not in the foretelling sense, at least. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's something to that for sure. Certainly it has to be judged against His word. And so at some level, at least, if it isn't coming directly from the word and it's being judged against the word, what's the point? And I'm just going to turn the Quite frankly, I don't think anybody has the standing today to do that. Pastor Greg?